tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
You guys are bold for singing.
I started to sing, but then it felt a little intense. Oh, I felt like I was getting, they could actually hear my singing voice.
Just sing.
Jewel.
Yeah.
I don't know what the words are. Anyways, thank you for joining us for AfterBuzz, the originals. I'll see you in hell or New Orleans. It's season 3, episode 3, and things are starting to get really exciting. I actually like this episode the best out of all the episodes. So we thank you guys for joining in on us. And you can catch us on AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube.com/AfterBuzz, SoundCloud, iTunes. Make sure you subscribe, 5 stars, give us a thumbs up. Maybe leave a comment on the iTunes podcast. We love those. You can also join us on Twitter to have live conversations and also talk to us during the week. Make sure you hashtag ABTV Originals. You can find me on Twitter, Donald Romaine, at Tigris Hobbs, and we also have our fellow host here.
Hello, I'm Katie Campbell, and you can tweet me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell.
And I'm Tiana Hobson. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson. And I'm also using my phone right now and trying to get to the live chat on YouTube because my computer's not working again. So I know you guys are in there chatting, and I'm going to get to it so that we can call some of you guys out. And I just want to also mention that Donald's lead hosting for the first time tonight, and he's going to kill it. And yeah, he's awesome and beautiful and send him love.
Thank you guys for bearing with me while I lead host for the first time. Unfortunately, we don't have Roxy here tonight. We really miss her, and she misses you guys, so she just wanted to let you guys know she wished she could be here. So let's get into this episode really fast. Just a quick thoughts. What did you think about it?
I loved it, too. I think it's my favorite out of the season so far as well. There's so many lies and deceit coming from so many people. I don't know who's telling the truth.
Oh, I thought that was a sound clip. I was like, oh, this is enhancing our experience right now.
That's why I'm playing the ad
because
I'm on YouTube.
Yeah. I don't know who's telling the truth, though. And it's just like this web of lies, and it's really fun to watch, but it's also making me like...
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just as confused. I don't know who to trust and who not to trust. And I guess when we get into what actually happened, we can discuss who we do trust, but on my paper, back and forth, lying, not lying, this person, not this person. Did you have the same feeling?
Look, the only reason I love this episode was that Jaylee Slick scene, okay? Because that just gave me a lot of, that got my heart racing. Everything else, I'm a little confused with what's happening. I started my own family tree, though, so I could get the sire lines, like, correct.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, other than that, like, I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, but I just would have to agree, and I think that's a good starting point. Let's just talk about Jaylee, because they weren't in the episode much, but I know a lot of you guys really like them. And, well, before we talk about Jaylee, I just want to talk about the term ship. And I just recently learned what that actually means, because coming in last season, I had never heard that term before, and I thought that when we were saying we were shipping two characters off, like we were shipping them on a ship into the horizon of their future, like sailing them off. That's not what it means, is it?
No.
It's an abbreviation for relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was giving it way too much meaning. Like, every time I was like, oh, I ship these two, I imagine them getting on a ship together off to the horizon of their future.
It's a good picture, though.
Yeah, but I had no idea. But last week I had said that I wanted to see Haley with Klaus. But after this week, I have to say that sex scene was probably the first sex scene that I didn't feel uncomfortable watching. And like it just, as it was going on in that music. And do you know what song that was playing?
No.
I don't know what song was playing, but it was getting me heated. And I was thinking, wow, like this is perfect. All of it was great. And I really enjoyed it. And I think that Jackson's a stand-up guy. And I know a lot of you guys at home are saying, kill Jackson. And sorry, Chad, to disappoint you guys. But I don't think I want to see him die anymore.
I can see, like, not wanting him with Haley. And there's a difference between not wanting him with Haley because you want her with Klaus or with Elijah or with whoever. But you don't have to kill him because he hasn't actually done anything to any characters to warrant being killed. And I just want to say that when she licked the blood off his face, I was sitting there like, lick it. Lick it.
She was standing up at this point.
She was standing. You're right.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same way, though?
Here's the thing. I don't agree with killing Jackson off. I don't want him to die either. I'm the biggest Elijah fan ever because they are amazing. Still, I'm all for it. And next episode looks like it's going to be heavy with Elijah. And
I think
I'm looking forward to that. But we'll get to that. And I just think I appreciate love, and I love love. So I like to see Jackson and Haley have their moments because I truly believe that people can fall in love more than once, but even though there's still that one person.
Do you think Jackson's that one person for her?
No. But I think that their little story is beautiful, but I don't think that he's her forever.
Do you think
Elijah is?
You're right. Elijah. I was about to say, do you think it's Endgame? And I was like, no, you just said Elijah is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I personally felt when the show started and they were showing the struggle between Haley and Jackson, I almost felt like Haley was unhappy with Jackson and that she might have Klaus on her mind or there might be other things, but she straight up said to him, Davina has the candle lit, you know, I'm afraid, what if I'm holding hope and I turn into a, you know, back into wolf form, which I didn't think about, and I was like, yeah, that is dangerous.
That scared me when she said that.
Oh, yeah, it was terrifying. Well, I thought, well, then why isn't anybody there protecting you guys or overseeing everything that's going on? You guys are just up in this apartment by yourselves. We didn't see Davina this episode, so we can't say what's going on, but I kind of felt like maybe Haley could still have feelings for Klaus, but by the end of that scene, I really felt like, you know, for now, Haley and Jackson really are meant to be together, and I think Jackson's a stand-up guy. I think he really is able to play to what Haley needs right now, and I think it's in the best interest of Hope.
For now. Yeah, you never know what might happen in the future, and they could break up. I mean, I'm saying it too. I don't know if they're going to stay together forever, but for right now, why can't she just enjoy someone who actually is being nice and treating her well and giving her the respect and stuff that she deserves? I mean, I loved it when he was like, that's my girl. I was like, yes.
When he said that, it was like, wow.
Yeah, and I know the chat is already yelling because they hate it when we're talking about Jackson, but you know what? I said my piece, and y'all need to stop acting all surprised when Tiana gets on air and it's like, yeah, Jackson. They're like, oh my God, seriously, Tiana? Yes, seriously, I say it every week. So you should know that I'm going to say it every week now. Drink every time I say Jaylee now, okay?
Oh, should we say no longer... Claroline?
Yeah,
drink.
Instead of Claroline drink, it's Jaylee drink. Okay?
Well, it is kind of a punishment, and they don't like hearing it, so I think that we should do it.
So I'll make it fun for you at home, okay?
Can there be something for everybody?
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? So, hello,
like,
okay.
Not just drink, but like they have to do something.
For every single person? Okay, I think that as we go along, if we think of it, we should do it.
So, or they can tell us.
Oh, yeah, tell us what you want to do. Like, Elijah, I think there should be something for Elijah, because it's forbidden and wrong, and I don't agree with you on that. But speaking of Haley and Jackson, they have a very limited role in the story right now. They're not really affecting anything. Do you think the writers are trying to push them aside, or do you think they're going to come into play at any point?
I think that tonight, we had so much witch stuff in the first couple episodes, and then it kind of dealt with the werewolves last week, so I think this week it was about getting to the root of the sire thing.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And the way the episode started, we flash back to 1002 AD in Marseille, and it was showing Luciano affection for Aurora. And he was in love with Aurora, and they obviously had something when they were children. But Klaus, you know, he kind of betrayed him. And I was a little shocked, and I wasn't a huge fan of Lucian before, but seeing what happened, I kind of started to feel for the guy.
Well, maybe, but Klaus was having a relationship with her before he came up to him with the note.
But I think Klaus knew already, too.
Wow.
Well, Lucian, but this is funny, though, because remember when Lucian warned Klaus when they came in, like, she's what you worry about, like, she's taking out guys with just, like, just being her. So Klaus would maybe that's what Klaus made her want to go after her. Because, like, I mean, Klaus wants what, you know, what's ever unattainable.
Right.
But, so, I mean, this is, so Luciano gives him the note. Klaus doesn't give it to Aurora, and he sees Aurora and Klaus kissing and making it. You saw my mouth drop, because I was like, betrayal, so much betrayal. Yeah. But then Klaus, even though he's powerful, he kind of, like, let Tristan have his way with Luciano, and I was kind of surprised by that.
Well, I think he was trying to tell him to come with him, but he was just so...
Oh, because he stayed back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He did stay back. But I felt bad still. I still felt bad. And then I guess when it goes later on, and we'll talk about the Ash and the Phoenix and stuff, they really weren't aware of what they could do at this point. Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess that kind of makes sense that they are powerful, but they don't really know what that they're capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just... It's interesting, though, that you feel like you feel bad for him, because I think maybe I'm just holding a grudge knowing him now. I just don't like him, and I don't trust him, and I think all that comes out of his mouth are lies, and that had to come from somewhere. I don't think he was a really good servant.
No, I...
he was just bad at his job.
I don't think he was a really good servant. I did not see that coming. No, I agree with you, and I think by the end of the episode, I definitely shared your view where I don't trust him.
Yeah.
He took me on a lot of emotions and a lot of roller coasters. I trust him, I don't trust him, I trust him, I don't trust him. But I guess that's interesting, because if we're talking about Luciano, we're talking about trust, we're going to go back into the flashbacks a little more intense, but it really came from the time that he spent with Cammy and Vincent inside of the police station, and we didn't really get much of Detective Kinney, who I absolutely love. I'm no longer shipping Cammy and Kinney anymore. I'm now shipping Cammy back with Klaus, but that's a whole other story.
Yes!
I'm back with Clammy now. It's called, they want Clammy, right?
Yeah, Clammy. Yeah, they want Clammy.
Clamil. Were we calling it Clammy before?
But they both sound like STDs that you don't want. So.
And I did say, I said the STD on week one on accident. So Clammy or Clamil, like, I'm going to ship them. But so they bring Luciano, and he comes by his own free will. So what do you think about the story that he's giving them? What do you think's true? What do you think's not true? What do you think his what is his angle? Where is he angling here?
He's lying, okay? I really honestly think, for a second there, I was thinking, oh, maybe he really didn't do it. No, but this is what happened. I think we see how he's compelling a bunch of people. So I think he's compelling Detective Kinney to do the killings, to frame Tristan, to get Klaus to see that that sires are at war and Tristan's after him. So Klaus, listen to me. I'm on your side, but I'm really not. And I have some other thing. I'm not sure what it is yet, but.
So you're saying that you think that Luciano is using Detective Kinney to frame himself so that it looks like actually he's framing Tristan, so it looks like Tristan's framing him.
So Detective Kinney's doing the killings.
Yeah, Detective Kinney's doing the killings.
Yeah.
Oh, because he was absent from the room when there was a fresh killing. That is, I did not think of that. Like, I did not think of that.
Katie, that's actually like a really good theory.
That was on my pen. Yeah, okay.
That's like a Donald level theory.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta
right
hand
there.
It over. I'm now gonna pass. It's now Katie's wild prediction.
Thank you.
That was
a
great
good prediction. For me.
Yes, for you.
I think that he is telling somewhat of the truth. I think, because what we heard from, what was his name, Tristan tonight, was that, you know, his side of the story is that Lucien is after his property and that he wants to start the war between them. And Lucien's always like, no, they're coming after us because of this, blah, blah, blah. I think there's truths to both of those sides of the story, mm-hmm. but there's a missing element that, like, each one is not telling the full truth.
Yeah.
So I do believe that he is there to protect Klaus and that there is a war coming and he wants to help Klaus. But I also don't believe that he is telling the full story of why there's a war happening between the sires.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Stuff. They're both keeping things at this point.
Which I'm like, hello, if you just want to get rid of each other, just kill each other, you know, and then kill Aurora, and then, like, who really cares? But I guess their sires would come after them. It's, like, the stupidest thing. And
but
it's
if they kill them, then the sires, then they can't come after them. Like, why don't they kill Tristan? Oh, because that doesn't kill the whole line. That makes totally sense. So you got to just go to the root of the problem.
Let's kill all three of them and then get the problem out of here.
Oh, right, so just kill the top ones. Yeah.
It's like, I have a problem with you, but instead of killing you, I'm going to kill, like, your grandparents to, like, get everyone out of my way.
It's diabolic and it's devious, and I don't put it back beyond him. And also, I keep saying Luciano. Is it because that's how they pronounce it in the flashback, or am I just making up another name like last season?
I thought that. Okay, so I heard you say Luciano. and I was like, maybe that's like a Niklaus in the past, and then it's Luciano, and then out here it's Lucian and Klaus.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It gets abbreviated, so
no, I'm just making it up. It's Lucian, and my bad, if you're talking in the chat room or you're watching the YouTube thing, I did mispronounce it for the first 20 minutes of this after show, but getting into what you guys are saying and what I believe and what I don't believe about Lucian, what was funny to me was that they kind of skimmed over the fact where Lucian was like, well, why would I tell you about the wolf bite when I can heal it on my own? Why would I bother you? And it's like, first of all, I don't think anybody's bothering anybody because you guys are just walking around brooding right now. Like, there's no fighting going on. There's no immediate danger. And you struggled for a while. Like, you let yourself struggle. You let yourself be weak. You know, you let it play out.
Well, what is that stuff? Because when he said that to Klaus, Klaus's face was like, wait, like, what? Because
Klaus didn't know what it was either. You're right.
The only cure we know about is Klaus for that.
Mm-hmm. Remember when at the end of the... And I know we're jumping here, but we'll go back. But they were like... Tristan was like, well, me and Aurora don't have it. So he must have it, or he must know about what it is that it is that could actually kill the originals. Do you think the serum could maybe have something to do with that? Like, maybe it's not a serum that's specifically to heal a wolf bite, but it's powerful something.
I think it's kind of related. Like,
yeah. I think that what they're actually after isn't like land or property, like you said, and maybe it's more of like these things, because we also saw Aya tonight, who created her own thing to, you know, knock out Marcel in the episode too. So we're seeing these people coming up with their own tricks and stuff, and they're not witches who normally you would go to for this kind of stuff.
It's just been time. They've been around for a long time, so maybe they've gotten the opportunity to
tricks up their sleeves for these things that could save their lives and stuff. So that's, to me, makes more sense. I want what she has instead of I want this land or property,
whatever it is
that they claim that this is about, because I just don't see that being a big enough issue.
No, yeah. I don't either, just because they've been around for such a long time. And like you said, there's a deeper seated issue here. We don't know all the facts. And I think Lucian is lying. I think that I kind of wanted to trust him. And I love your theory about Detective Kinney doing the killings. But I kind of wrote that, in a way, I kind of almost... It's weird because I have all these arrows on my paper, but for a second I almost felt like Aya was doing the killings, and that maybe Tristan was, like, either Tristan was setting up Aya, was having Aya do it, and was setting up Lucian, or maybe Tristan's sending a sign to Lucian, like, I am here. I did this to you. I'm sending you a sign that I'm here.
You know what? I was thinking it could be even Tristan himself for a little bit, but wasn't he gone with Aurora during some of the killings?
He was, which is why I think it might have been Aya. Okay. Because Aya, we don't know when Aya came on the scene.
Or it could have just been a sign of the Styx.
The Strix?
The Strix, yeah. It could just be like their marker of...
Their scent. Well, because he's the one who did it first, so maybe it is a Strix marker. But if it was the Strix marker, you would think that Elijah and Klaus would have said something sooner. But also... Remember when, way back in the first episode, when he saw the picture and Klaus he saw the cut and it jogged his memory? Well, now we know why. I'm just surprised that if it was a Strix or was something, he would have said something at that point, and he didn't. So I was kind of thinking that maybe it was Aya, and Aya was introduced to us the first time, and she's obviously working for Tristan and the Strix, and she confronted Marcel and all of his vampires that follow him, and Josh is back, which I know you guys are excited about.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that scene?
You know, I'm excited to see him. He seems like he's got his head on straight, and he's like took some time to heal, although I'm sure he's still grieving because it's really sad.
I'm still grieving. We're all still grieving.
I know.
He's so good. Why did he have to die?
Gosh, I know. But I definitely think that they're going to try to recruit all of them to be a part of the Strix.
Marcel
and the vampires. But it's scary because then Tristan's taking all these people and putting them on his team. And I just feel like there's something going on. It's going to pull all the siblings apart.
But
because they're taking their friends and moving them around like pawns and pulling them away from them.
My only question about the whole recruiting Marcel thing for the Strix is, what advantage will that give Tristan? Because Marcel isn't he Klaus's sire?
That's why.
Oh. Because if their goal, if the ultimate goal of Tristan right now is to eliminate Klaus and his entire sire line, then Marcel would be wiped out too. So well, then he doesn't serve a purpose.
He doesn't care about him necessarily, but what he cares about is taking him out of the possibility that Marcel will be on Klaus's side for a fight back.
Oh, I agree with I agree with both of you guys, and I think that the point that he, the reason why he wants Marcel is because he doesn't want Klaus to have an ally, and because it's an easy shot. Like, his her sales pitch was, you know, let's, you've taken this and you've risen it from the ashes and you made this your home, like, let's return it to your home, let's return it to you. And so they're trying to get him on his side, but also, like, what you said, Tiana, if, why would Marcel be dumb enough to align himself with the Strix? But also, does Marcel know about what's going on? Does he know about the Sire Wars?
He probably doesn't yet, but he will find out. We all know that eventually he's going to find out. And we do know that Davina has been working to find a way to unsire him from Klaus so that, you know, he could... they could get rid of Klaus. But I don't see that happening anytime soon because Davina is over here, like, in charge of the witches, but can't help vampires because, you know, people will hate her. And I just don't think Marcel, when he really sits down to think about it, every time he's gone against Klaus, what has happened? He's lost.
Every time.
Every time. You know, so why continuously piss off Klaus and choose the other side? I'm team Klaus all the way, like 100%.
Well, there's your point, though. He's continuously done it, so he keeps making the mistakes, so he could totally make it again, you know? And I think he's feeling hurt that Elijah told him to get out, and he's with his vampires, and he's been wronged by the Michelson, so he's got this kind of, like, grudge, a slight grudge against them, so I think that would inch him closer to
finding his allies. Oh, I agree with you. I think he wants to be seen as an equal because he's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact of the matter is, no, you haven't. There's Tristan, there's Aurora, there's Lucien. Yeah, yeah, you were close to Klaus, but you weren't his first bond. Mm-hmm.
And you weren't the first vampire ever created from a vampire.
No, these bonds are deeper than you.
Yeah.
But what I thought was interesting was I felt like he gave Elijah a warning on the way out the door. And even though Elijah dismissed him, he still gave him a warning, like, about the Strix and about what was going on, about the fact that they're going to try and take down Klaus.
Yeah.
But then, when he was back and talking to Josh, it sounded like he was considering the Strix offer. So I don't know where his head at.
This is the thing that pisses me off about Marcel right now. He is acting like a baby because he was dismissed by Elijah in that meeting. Did he not notice that Tristan had just dismissed all of his people, too?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Tristan had just gotten rid of everyone, said, everyone clear the room, I need to talk to this guy right here. And in respect of the game type of thing, Elijah's like, hey, like, let me hear this guy out. And then you want to get mad at... He came in and saved your life! You don't know what they were about to do!
The lady who destroyed all of the people protecting you, knocked you out, carried you to a new place, Elijah just had her by the heart! And we had the whole situation in control, and then you're going to be mad because you were dismissed. If you were boss enough to handle it yourself, you wouldn't be dismissed.
But that's why I wouldn't put it past him that he would take the step, because
I agree.
You're getting mad for no reason in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. He's obviously hurt, and obviously he's sensitive over things that have happened. And it's just the way it is when you get involved with the Michelsons, which kind of brings me to a point that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
This friend, family, or foe seems to be the theme of this entire season. And I thought it was interesting that there were two times in the episode that they mentioned a group of three names. And the first time was when Lucien was with Cammy and Vincent inside of the police station and said, all three of us are the same. And I was like, oh, that's the first grouping of three I heard. And then later on in the episode, someone grouped Marcel, Lucien, and Cammy together in the same breath. So I was wondering if this was maybe alluding to the group of three or to who could be friend, family, or foe. So what are your guys' thoughts on who you might think be friend, family, or foe?
So in that sense, would Cammy be the friend, Lucien be the foe, and then Vincent, because Finn was in his body?
That's what I think. I think Vincent could possibly be family because Finn was in his body.
What if Finn returns into his body, or at least comes back because he's in the necklace?
He is in the necklace, and what if he enacts his revenge? by killing because he is upset. So I was thinking that Vincent could maybe be family, and I thought Cammy could be friend, but when they mentioned the next grouping, I thought maybe Marcel's the friend and Lucien's the foe.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I thought. Those are my thoughts on friend, family, and foe. And I just want to know if you guys had any thoughts on who you thought the friend, family, or foe might be. Tiana?
I'm still trying to figure this one out, but I feel that the family, I feel like they're going to bring someone back who we, like, maybe they bring back Cole or even Finn to be, like, the family, because I can't see one of our originals, like, Klaus, Elijah, or even Rebecca killing the other ones, because they're the three that the show is kind of based around. So if it's going to be family, or maybe, I know you love her, but Freya...
Freya can do no wrong.
Is family, technically.
She could maybe do it.
Maybe not.
You know what?
There's a 50-50 chance. No, honestly, when it came down to it in the first season, Freya did... When it comes to the matter of whether she's got to choose the life or death of her siblings, she's going to choose what's right or what she feels is right. So there is a chance that she could possibly be the one that takes them down.
I think, speaking of siblings, though, the fact that Rebecca wasn't in the flashbacks made me really upset.
Yeah, me too. They can only get her for 2 episodes? I know, she needs to be in more.
I did realize she wasn't there.
She wasn't in the flashback.
We need to learn how she changed Aurora.
Yeah, that's what my thing is. Why did Elijah change Tristan? Why did Rebecca change Aurora? Mm-hmm. How did that happen? And then talking about Rebecca or Freya killing, or, you know, the lack of Rebecca, so we don't even know if... I don't know if she would do it or not. We don't know her incentives right now.
Yeah.
But was it not interesting how Elijah did not respond to Klaus saying, I will not be the hand that takes you down. And Elijah just walked out on him. But this was the first time, and this was actually right after, and this is why I would say I wanted to ship Camille and...
Klaus.
Sorry, I don't know why I blanked for a second. Because he said to her, it means more than you know. When she was trying to make him not make a choice that he would regret. And then he goes, therapy's working. Therapy is working. I don't know why it took so many years, but therapy is working. Because
he needed genuinely
the right one. I'm sorry, we're fans of them together. We can't help it. All of us are smiling as big as we can. But the fact of the matter is, he was genuine when he was talking to Elijah. And not only was he genuine, he admitted that he himself strayed from what actually should have taken place when it came to Elijah and Haley. And is this an Elijah thing?
I just wrote down his own way of saying sorry.
Yes, it was. It was his own way of saying sorry, and it was the most genuine I've seen
him in a long time.
All of the series, mm-hmm. in a very long time. And it just broke my heart to see Elijah reject it. But then again, how many times has Klaus rejected Elijah's heart?
Mm-hmm.
I was mad at Elijah for, like, the first time ever.
Yes. Well, I mean, I was mad when every time he talks to Haley. But, yes, I was actually upset at the way he responded to Klaus. But do you think he had a right to?
You know, I do, stepping back and thinking about it, because I feel like Klaus, he just, you know, needs to learn from his actions. And maybe this will also make him learn. You know, I need to earn my brother's trust back even more.
The thing I don't like, though, is that Elijah keeps throwing the idea of a possible reconciliation in Klaus's face and then taking it away. Like, earlier in the episode, I can't remember exactly what happened, but he was like, when he was going to stop him from killing Lucien, he's like, if you ever want a road to our forgiveness, then you will stop right now. And it's like, okay, don't use that as leverage to get your way type of thing. Just be real with him. If you're just say, hey, like, don't do it. Let's go talk. Might not have worked on a person like Klaus. But then when Klaus comes to you and is like, hey, like, this is me apologizing, then you're going to walk away from him. It's like, don't use it as leverage 1 second and then turn your back on him the next.
I agree with you. And I think that's the problem here is that They always ruin their own shot. They always put their own foot in their own mouth when it comes to reconciliation and actually, you know, being able to give them the opportunity to mend themselves, because they do that. They do say, if we want reconciliation, okay. And then they say, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah,
I don't take it. I don't forgive you. And I think it's hard for us to watch it because we know, like, just come on, say sorry. He's genuine now. But after all these years, I think it would be really hard. And it's just no fun. So that's what I think is hard about it.
But speaking of fun, you know what is fun?
I do know what's fun, and I think that's why we brought it up, because I play fantasy football. Do you?
I do. I love playing fantasy football. Actually, I played one season last year, and... last year I played, and it was actually a pretty good season for me. I did great, but my problem was I couldn't consistently commit myself to selecting a lineup every week, and so DraftKings has this awesome idea where you do a one-week fantasy team every week, and every week you can win, like, a ton of money doing it, and it's awesome because... you don't have to be committed to a full 16-week season. It can be a week-by-week basis. So if you want to take a week off or 3 weeks off, you can do that and come back and get right back in the game. And basically every week they're crowning a brand new millionaire. And it's a great thing. So if you go to DraftKings.com and use our special promo code BUZZ, then you can enter for your shot at $1 million.
I know I'm going to, because I love fantasy football, and I love the fact that you can actually do a new lineup every week. And if we had a podcast about fantasy football, I could talk about it the whole time. So do DraftKings. I do DraftKings, and check it out. Make sure you use the code word BUZZ.
Yeah, and make sure you enter BUZZ for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. I can talk, I promise. It's late at night, and my tongue's getting a little twisted, but make sure you go to DraftKings.com. Enter BUZZ for your free entry this week. I don't even know what week of the football season it is.
We're entering week 7. We have Thursday night football night tonight. So even though you missed the first game, you still got Sunday and Monday, and you got the London game to try and get people in.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say do DraftKings. Well, on that note, though, I think we should talk about the last scene in the episode, which was Aurora. And what were your thoughts on
that? This crazy girl.
Man.
I think that she is... bad news. I really do. I think she might be the most powerful one of them all back, or the craziest one of them all, at least.
Yes.
Because that's why he's been keeping her holed up in this place far, far away.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think that it says something. You know, even before she was a vampire, Lucien already was like, this girl's got a reputation, you know. She definitely has a hold on people, regardless of whether she's a vampire or not. And obviously she's strong enough that she has to be restrained. And she's got a little crazy to her. I don't know if you guys watch Jane the Virgin. I know this is completely off topic, but the sister on Jane the Virgin has the exact same kind of crazy. And I hope someone in the chat room watches, because they'll know exactly what kind of crazy I'm talking about. And she wants to come to have fun. And she wants to play. She doesn't seem like she's got a lot of morals either. So I'm excited to have her come in.
Also, what is happening with Tristan being jealous over her?
Incest is what's happening.
I mean, it was a popular thing in
it
1000
was it really? 2 AD.
Was people, it really?
I honestly think it probably was.
I mean, if you watch Game of Thrones, like, it's very popular in Game of Thrones, but I think that, no, back in history, I mean, you used to marry in the family to, you know,
like
keep the royalty alive.
And I think the issue now is social stigma. And the fact that our culture obviously looks down on it, and because everybody knows everything nowadays. But back in the days, nobody knew anything. No, and also, at the same time, like, maybe you didn't know who your first cousins, second cousins were, who your extended family was. And then at the same time, like, if, you know, you only see what's in front of you.
Yeah.
If you're in a castle and you're royalty and this is all you see, who are you going to sleep with? Probably who's there.
But Tristan does have a little crazy to him, too. A crazy possessive type of feel about his sister.
He does. But I think is the incest.
Yeah, but then it's like, what drives him to be that possessive over his sister, and what drives her to be this person that kills a bunch of monks and escapes, and that had to be held, like, locked up in the first place.
And she's flying...
She is fine. Well, honestly, when she like let go, I imagined her doing a somersault and kind of leaping off of something.
Yeah, they held the shot so long, I was waiting for her to, like, shoot back up after she fell down. I was like, is she gonna fly or something?
No, I thought she was gonna actually just take off from where she was standing, but she did. But you know what? super excited to have her come into the show because yeah. she's going to bring a fresh energy and she's definitely crazy. So I think it'll add a lot of elements to the show. So, I mean, overall, I think that kind of, that was a good episode yeah. and it wrapped it up. So I kind of feel like, unless we have anything else you want to say, we should kind of talk about predictions because it was a really good intro.
Yeah.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
That's all I wrote down for the preview for next week.
Oh my god. Same name. So I guess starting with Tiana, because she's got one sentence. What did you write?
I wrote, "What the F, Marcel?" Oh, that's exactly. all I could write based off of the preview that I saw for next week. I just wrote, "What the F, Marcel?" because he's been pissing me off for a while now.
I wrote, yes. "Marcel will join Vamps."
Marcel will join Vamps. The Strix. Yes. Well, I wrote Marcel initiated because that's exactly what they showed us. I feel like this is going to cause a huge problem. And it was shocking that there was a party and it was a surprise to Elijah and who else is at the party, we don't know, that he's getting initiated. Mm-hmm. And it's a collection of the world's most dangerous vampires. This is going to be an exciting episode.
These people are responsible for wars, assassinations, like basically anything that's bad in history. It sounds like the Strix have played a role in it. And mm-hmm. it's probably true because they've been around since the early
beginning,
the beginning of the 1000s.
Oh, yeah. And they're, oh, man, I can't wait. And I'm excited. And I think they're dangerous. And I think Marcel is out of his mind. And he is definitely he's going to be asking forgiveness by the end of the season because of this.
He needs to be going to the Michelsons with the information he has and being like, look, they're trying to get me on their side. What's going on? You need to tell me everything.
He definitely does. Do you think maybe he'll show up at the end of the next episode after the initiation and say, look, I'm on your guys' side. Trust me. If you want to live, you're going to have to keep me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do that voice like he's getting choked. Like, I imagine he's getting choked and he's like, if you kill me, you'll never get the inside scoop. Sorry. You guys can't hear that if you're on the podcast. Sorry. You can't see me doing that. But I kind of think that that's a possibility. And if it does, if he does do that, it's a redemption. If he doesn't, he can die.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't mind if he does.
Oh, really? Yeah. I think he's just going to stay with the Strix for a while.
You think he's going to be straight up Strix?
Eventually, yeah.
Straight up Strix.
Eventually, he'll come back crawling, you know. But I think what these three are doing is pulling everybody apart. Like I said, it's just pawns in their game. They don't really care about all these people in New Orleans. They're just trying to make sure that they stay alive, their sire line. I think maybe Tristan and Aurora would side together over Lucien. I don't like him either.
I don't like him either, and I'm more inclined to trust Tristan and Aurora, mm-hmm. even though I don't really know them. But this is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. It's all lies. It's all deceit. We don't know who to trust. The sire lines are warring. We don't know what's going on with yeah. Marcel and his vampires. There's the Strix. We've got Lucien. We've got Kenny. We've got Vincent. We've got friend. We've got family. We've got foe. We don't know where Rebecca is. Vincent's Davina. In the Davina. We've got the candle. Vincent's inside the thing. We've got so much to go for this season. It's a great episode.
I was just going to read a couple comments from the YouTube live chat. Sorry, guys, I wasn't able to chat as much as usual tonight. But Kyle Kent says, Tristan will date Josh, because there was a little talk about possibly some gay loverships going on there.
Very interesting.
Darius says, Aya will be a badass and seduce Elijah, and Haley will cry because she stands no chance against her. Ooh. And then Daquan...
Just hurting Katie's heart.
Yeah. And then Daquan Jenkins, I saw this comment earlier when we were talking about our drinking game, and he suggested that we drink on Caroline, punch on Jaylee, and snore on Elijah. I think we
Did
can...
Did you say that? What'd you say? What was the last name?
Elijah.
All right. With that being said, thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Tigris Hobbs. My name is Donald Romaine.
Hi, guys. Katie Campbell. You can find me on Twitter at Katie Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell. Instagram at KatieCampbell13 and YouTube.com/KatieCampbellOnline. I have a weekly vlog and new stuff is coming out. Check Woo. It out.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
Woo! Thank you guys so much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.